Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the San Antonio Spurs by a score of 117-112. I'm not going to lie to you, I did not see this win coming. The Raptors had a very shorthanded, very unique roster for this game, so the Raptors only had one guard available for this game. One. And that was Malachi Flynn, who's a rookie. But he was the only point guard available. There were no shooting guards available. Some people said, well, maybe Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood's a small forward. But if you want to say Rodney Hood, fine. They had two guards available. Okay, Rodney Hood and Malachi Flynn. And they had four centers. They had multiple small forwards. They had some small forwards. And they, of course, they had... it was... The lineup was looking to be quite challenging, and it seemed like, you know, the Raptors were tanking. You know, they had rested Kyle Lowry for a second consecutive game, even though they had rested him in the first half of the back-to-back. They rested him for the second half of the back-to-back. They rested Gary Trent Jr., despite the fact that he came in wearing very, very luxurious silk pajamas. And, you know, like, again, it just seemed like the Raptors weren't going to make a situation where they were going to be impossible to win. But Raptors found a way. And listen, I think part of the reason why I'm so relieved is, A, I got to cover this team, so I do prefer wins. It's way more interesting and people watch more. But also, I think there is still things that are valuable in the rest of the season. And I do think that finding a way to win, in terms of like learning how to win, I think is important. And I do think for this team, obviously they have won in the past and they won at the highest levels, but like I do think that like some of the simple core tenets are missing from what they needed to do this season, and that's part of why they've lost. I mean, part of it's personnel issues, and I think the Raptors upgrades at bigs are really, really valuable here. I think, look, the Raptors getting these bigs for the front office is like a nice test of like, A, you got to look at some guys, right? Freddie Gillespie seems pretty good. Honestly, great interview too, by the way. If you haven't seen it already, go watch his interview. He was very, very, very jovial, very charismatic guy. You know, I really enjoyed talking to him. And Ken Birch, you know, of course, there's a nice little run here for him to showcase what he can do as a fit on this team and maybe get a contract here. But I think for the front office, it's also, like, useful. It's prescriptive to see, like, this team, if they had, like, you know, decent big men or even half decent big men, what can they do with this group? And I think, you know, we're gonna get a chance to see that soon with some of these guys coming back, maybe. But in any case, I do think that winning is valuable, which I don't even know why that even has to be said. It's not like tanking is the only thing that's valuable. I think winning is valuable too, because like I want to see this team just like not go out there and play the way they played against the Hawks, right? Not go out there and find ways to lose as they've done so many times this season. Like, find ways to win. And I think that's a real skill that really takes time to develop. And I think for the Raptors, you know, they played a really good team game today. They had odd circumstances. They had to start Ken Birch. Obviously, he hasn't even had a practice with the team yet. He played alongside Chris Boucher, who was playing the four. OG was playing two. Malachi Flynn was starting, even though he wasn't getting any minutes at all at the start of the season. Like, it was odd. It was not the way you would draw it up, and Pascal played three. But the Raptors found a way to win. And I think that is very, very important. I think, you know, I challenge any Raptor fan to be watching this game and to say they didn't enjoy it. Maybe you can say they didn't enjoy the way the Raptors were trying actively to squander like a 12-point lead with a minute left. I think they could have closed the game a lot better. They made life very difficult for themselves with, what, OG failing to get the ball past half court as the Spurs put a full court trap in. I think the Raptors were up 8 at this point. Then Chris Boucher fouling Derek Wright on a three-point shooter. Which, by the way, White pump-faked at first, and Boucher didn't, like, fall for the fake. And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. He's just going to stay down. But then White went up for the shot anyway, and then Boucher put his hand up. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? But that was tough. Then Chris Boucher bringing the ball up half court and deciding, you know, I'm the point guard now, and not passing it off to Pascal, not passing it off to Flynn, but instead trying to attack, and he gets stripped. All this is in the last few minutes. It was unbelievable to watch. But I challenge other Raptor fans to, like, outside of that last minute, like, there's no way you didn't enjoy this game. And I think that this game was enjoyable because this is the way you would like to see the team play, like, all season. And I know it's probably not going to make a difference now, but, you know, I want to know that it's within them. Like, I want to know that they're capable of putting some of these things together. And I think, you know, today, again, you know, look, if you're going to win in the regular season, you need to win under different circumstances, right? Like, it's not this first season the Raptors have dealt with injuries. Obviously, it's the first time the Raptors have played through a pandemic where they weren't inside the bubble. So, like, they had that to deal with. And, of course, that's a huge factor in terms of what happened to the Raptors this season. But it's just learning how to play together and also sharing the ball. And I think, you know, there were real games this season when the Raptors didn't share the ball. Last game in particular, Nick Nurse called them out for it. And today, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know by the assists. The Raptors had 21 assists as a team, which doesn't sound that high, and it's not that high. But the Raptors moved the ball much more today. The teammates trusted each other a lot more today. And guys made good plays. And they played free. They played unselfish. They played brave. And, you know, even with the circumstances being difficult, again, with the Raptors usually playing two bigs and guys playing out of position, guys made the most of it. And I thought the guy who did make the absolute most of this game was OG Anunoby, who I called out after last night's game against the Hawks. I thought that was a really poor performance from him both ways. And today, you see why I was frustrated. Because, yo, OG's a very good player. And you can see what happens today when, you know, he gets to play the two-guard position, which is a unique situation for him. But he was legitimately, you know, if not the best player for the Raptors offensively, at least the second-best player. And I thought, honestly, there were times where he was making the reads a lot better than Pascal was. While also being hugely impactful defensively. Because he was guarding DeMar DeRozan, who had, like, two made baskets in the first half. And I thought, you know, offensively though, that was the bigger challenge for OG. We know OG can guard, and OG had a very, very clutch strip on DeMar late in the game, which I think sparked a fast break as well. And again, it seemed to seal the win, although the Raptors then try to unseal that win. But OG as a two guard played really well. Like, I thought, you know, so when you're this two guard out there, you really do have to, like, create a lot. Like, you have to really handle and sort of not just, like, get your own shot, but also you know, create for other people. And I thought OG did a really good job of that today. Like, I thought he used a euro step quite well, at least two or three times. He's able to use a euro step down the lane, and he was able to finish. Seemed like he really enjoyed going at Jakob Poeltl. Seemed to show no fear at going at Yak. And Jakob had a pretty bad game today. I thought, honestly, he was getting outplayed by, like, Eubanks off the bench. But in any case, the Spurs don't have a lot of size. And so OG was able to get downhill and slash. You know, he was knocking down threes. He was hitting pull-up threes when he was handling two, and the defense sort of went under. He was hitting those. He was getting himself to the free throw line. And even some very nice passes in tight quarters. You know, I remember one nice play where he worked the pick and roll with Ken Birch and dropped a really soft bounce pass in traffic to Ken Birch. I think this happened twice, actually. Both times Birch finished the play. And yeah, obviously, you don't see OG run many pick and rolls, and you especially don't see him. If he does run a pick and roll, it's usually for him to get an advantage to drive, for him to then dish it off. And it's some of these were not easy passes. Like I mentioned, like a pass in traffic with, like, two defenders in close proximity and Birch rolling as well. To drop that pass in a situation where Birch is the only one who can catch it, that's a nice pass. It's a nice play from OG, man. And I thought OG played really well. And again, defensively, it was great too. Like, you know, much, much better. You know, against Bogdan Bogdanovic, impossible. Apparently, it's impossible to stop that guy. But against DeMar DeRozan, I thought OG did a really, really good job. I thought his length affected DeMar. DeMar was also passing it really well as well, because that's what he does. And the Raptors did send plenty of help, because that's what they do. But I thought OG's length really did give DeMar some issues. And I don't remember OG really fouling DeMar all that much. If anything, DeMar's free throws came against the Raptors' bigs, whether it was like Ken Birch, for example, a bit on a pump fake, or Ken Birch again on the DeMar's sweep through move when he brings the ball low and then brings the ball up and catches bigs with their hand in the cookie jar. Like, you know, I thought OG did a really good job, and he played fantastic. But honestly, this is a game where a lot of people had to really bring their A game to win, and the Raptors had plenty of good performances tonight. I thought, you know, Pascal did a really good job in his role for certain spurts. I think, first off, defensively, you know, there were some miscues. I think he gave up a couple of blow-bys and let a three-point shot in once or there. But, like, for the most part, you know, he rebounded the ball really well, 11 rebounds. You know, Pascal's rebounding has really fallen off of late, and there's been games where he's had like zero rebounds. I think against the in the Knicks game, he had zero rebounds. Like, you know, that's unbelievable. Like, he needs to have, he needs to be a factor on the glass, and today he was that, 11 rebounds. And he did have, you know, six assists as well. But I think with Pascal, like, it was really, like, I thought he started the game really positively, going downhill, getting, you know, attacking the Spurs. The Spurs have always been a matchup for Pascal where he should be able to do well against. I remember last season, he set the Raptors record for, like, points in a quarter with, like, 25 against the Spurs in the first quarter. And whatever, he cooled off. But, like, you know, this is a matchup where the Spurs don't really have a power forward to throw at him. So Pascal should be able to go at these guys. And he's not really that afraid of scoring on his good friend Jakob Poeltl. So I thought Pascal had a really nice start. He was getting to the basket. But then a kind of a iffy middle of the game, I would say. A lot of driving in, not recognizing where the help was coming from, getting caught by surprise, driving into traffic, turning it over, complaining to the refs. I mean, there was one play that really got me, like, steaming mad, which was, you know, Pascal drove into the defender, you know, and he got the shot up, but Drew Eubanks came over and blocked his shot off the basket. And I don't know if he was calling for a foul, if he was calling for goaltending, but on the replay, you know, it was neither one. He just got blocked because he didn't see where the help defender was coming from. And Pascal was complaining about it. And in the process of complaining, he turned his head to look at the ref, and he, like, bowled over Patty Mills, who was just standing there with the ball. And, you know, obviously it was a foul, and the Raptors were putting the Spurs into the bonus. And Patty Mills got two free throws just by standing there 90 feet from the rim, from the Raptors basket, just because Pascal was complaining. And that stuff was unacceptable. But I thought Pascal really responded well. And in the fourth quarter, I know a lot of people kind of get on Pascal for his fourth quarter performances. You know, and some of it's definitely warranted based on the results. But we saw today in the fourth quarter, I thought he was hugely pivotal in that fourth quarter where the Raptors, you know, we're in a tight game with the Spurs that were leading, but it was kind of close, like less than 10 points that lead the Raptors were holding. And Pascal, with that bench group, really, really solidified things. And they made a nice push in the fourth quarter there, playing good team basketball. Pascal, I think, setting up Paul Watson Jr. for three, I think setting up Yuta for three. He got to the lane and got himself a basket, got himself to the free throw line, had another really good shot that he just missed right at the basket. I thought Pascal really led that group really well. And Pascal also made some plays late in the game as well. So, you know, it was a good effort from him, I would say. I mean, it's not necessarily one of his best, but definitely was enough for this game. And, you know, I thought, honestly, the two big alignment worked pretty well. I thought, I mean, I mentioned last podcast, like, you know, I would like to see Birch paired with either one of Pascal or Boucher. But, you know, not so much of Birch with Gillespie, because the two guys kind of do similar things. But today, Birch was really, really good in his role. And I think him and Boucher made a lot of sense together. And it kind of gave the Raptors a lot of size to have. I mean, look at their starting front court today. You had 6'10 Kem Birch. You had 6'10 Chris Boucher. You had 6'9 Pascal Siakam. And then you had OG Anunoby, who's 6'8 at shooting guard. And then Flynn, who's like 6'1, right? And then you compare it to, like, what they were seeing on the other side. Like, okay, so for the Spurs, Jakob Poeltl's a legit 7-footer. But, you know, kind of a light 7-footer, I would say. You know, DeMar is 6'6. Keldon Johnson's like 6'4. He's starting at power forward for them. Then, you know, Derek White, he's 6'4. DeJounte Murray, he's 6'4. Like, Raptors had size pretty much across the board. They had to beat him four different positions. And I thought, honestly, the front court worked really well. The rebounding was fantastic. Like, the Raptors had a season high in rebounding, 54 rebounds today. You know, and, you know, at first it seemed like the Spurs were still hurting them on the boards. There were some long rebounds early in the game that the Raptors were missing, and I think Jakob Poeltl was really active there. And that's something Jakob does really well, is just, you know, tip balls out and keep possessions alive. But the Raptors really secured it from that point onwards. I thought, you know, Boucher did a really good job rebounding. I thought Pascal did a really good job rebounding. Kem Birch was also really good as well. And, you know, those guys were quite solid. And I think, really, when you go big, there are challenges both offensively and defensively. And I think offensively, you know, the solution was a lot more Boucher playing on the perimeter. You saw Boucher today, 5-9 from the field, but 2-6 from three. So obviously that's 2/3 of his attempts coming from the three-point line. Like, there was a lot of Boucher had the space to floor and even get a couple of shots on the dribble, which he seems to, I mean, I noticed it in the Bulls game, but he seems to have this, like, weird driving pull-up jumper kind of thing. It's like leaning, it's awkward, but it's like, it goes in. And he made another one today. So, you know, that was interesting to watch. But, you know, Ken Burch is at center rolling down to the basket was a real tool for the Raptors today. Because, look, the Spurs are clearly not going to be guarding Ken Burch all that much. They're going to send extra guys to Pascal. And even the way OG was playing, they're going to send extra guys to OG. And Burch was able to roll to the basket and just finish repeatedly. Like, you know, I thought OG found him a couple of times for soft bounce passes. Flynn found him a couple of times. He's already shown chemistry with Pascal as well. And I think Burch, honestly, doesn't look... I don't know why I just remember him more stiff, but he didn't look that stiff. He looks very lively. He looks light on his feet. He looks, like, very athletic. And he seems to have decent touch. I think maybe his post moves are a little unrefined, so if he has to catch it and then pivot and then go up for the shot, it's a little, maybe a little bit different than if he just catches it on the move and goes up. But, like, he showcased a nice floater today. I think probably layups with either hand, you know, was really good. Like, and honestly, like, and he's been very impressive the last few games. And even guys off the bench were doing well, man. Freddie Gillespie, I thought, you know, I mean, look, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 of 5 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. You know, he was in good position most of the time. You know, obviously he's a big body too, so he's going to take up a lot of space. And, you know, he's got huge hands. He's active on the rebounding front, and he got 5 offensive rebounds today. I love seeing that. Like, I love the fact that the Raptors are big, and they're like, you know what, we're big, so we got to press our advantage. And Freddie Gillespie in that bench matchup against a guy like Drew Eubanks, honestly, played him even. And Eubanks is a pretty good player. Not pretty good player. He's a pretty productive player, but, like, you know, I thought, Freddie did his job quite well as well, matched him in the same way. And even though Freddie ended up on a poster when he got dunked on by Eubanks, Freddie made the first challenge against DeMar DeRozan and met DeMar at the basket. And I've seen DeMar dunk, absolutely dunk all over people in the past, man. I mean, listen, I don't have to tell any real Raptor fan this. I don't have to tell any Raptor fan this. Like, DeMar obviously is a elite dunker. I've seen this man go up and crown Rudy Gobert. I've seen him, the dunk against Anthony Tolliver at the end of that Pistons game. There's so many, right? Kyle Singler and all these other guys. But DeMar is obviously like a poster dunker. And Freddie Gillespie met him right at the basket. Like, DeMar was thinking, oh man, I'm going to put Chris Boucher on a poster, like that same situation he did last season. But this time Freddie said no at the basket, and nobody boxed out Eubanks. And so Eubanks went up for the dunk, and Gillespie still challenged, and he got dunked on. But I liked his hustle. I liked his energy. I mean, multiple possessions where Freddie's just able to, I think he had 4 offensive rebounds in the first half. I mean, he was good. I liked his presence. He seems to have nice hands as well. Rodney Hood gave them, actually, I don't know, I haven't really been that impressed by Rodney Hood of late, but I like what Paul Watson gave them. First half was a little bit invisible for him. Maybe I think obviously him coming back from COVID struggled a little bit, to the point where Stanley Johnson came in and took his minutes in the first half. But second half, Watson was much better, knocked down 2 threes, drove inside for a layup, and he played a part in that fourth quarter. But, you know, I thought the guy off the bench that was the best one was Yuta Watanabe, who, I mean, 11 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a block. In 20 minutes, I really, really enjoyed his effort. And I liked the fact that Yuta was, like, actively moving to get the ball, to shoot the ball, which I know it sounds real rudimentary. Like, yeah, who doesn't do that? Yuta wasn't doing that. Yuta was, like playing hot potato with the ball. Like, he was literally just, you know what? Oh, someone else is maybe open. Let me just swing the ball regardless. You know, I just don't want to, you know, take this shot. I don't want to take this shot. Like, I'm tired of seeing that. Like, Yuta is a guy who has a capable offensive skill set. And, you know, we can see him attack. And today he did attack. You know, he came off screens and caught triple handoffs and pulled up for 3. I like that. You know, a lot of those situations, the Raptors like to sort of cycle the ball. You know, dribble handoff, a guy cuts to receive the ball. Then he dribbles handoffs to the next guy. And then someone else cuts and whatever. Yuta called his own number twice. And he made both of them, which was great to see. But I also liked Yuta's energy. His defense was really good. He had what I would consider the best defensive sequence of the game, where he pressured, Patty Mills, who, honestly, Patty Mills was torching the Raptors in the first half. My goodness. This guy literally, I checked into the game, I was like, oh, okay, all right, cool. So we just have Ozzy Steph Curry coming out against the Raptors. That's cool. But in any case, Patty Mills was torching the Raptors. And so Yuta, you know, got switched on the Patty, pressured the ball, got him to lose his handle, made Patty reset around his screen. Yuta then chased him around that screen, pressured him. Patty pulled up, faked it. Utah disciplined closeout, didn't foul. Then Mills ultimately had to fire because it was late shot clock, and Utah challenged that shot. Still, I think it might have been blocked or something. The loose ball came to Utah after the missed shot, and Utah fired the ball the length of the court for, I think, OG for a breakaway dunk. And it was like, you know, Utah was making great plays out there. He was hustling his ass off and just doing what he normally does. Listen, he could be a very good 3 and D player, or not even very good. He could be a good 3 and D player who's in the rotation if he just took his shots that he's capable of doing. And today, we're only talking about 6 shots in 20 minutes. It's not even like he had an incredible usage or anything like that. But I like the shots that Utah was going for, and he's been playing quite well of late. So happy with those guys. I'm even happy with Flynn, who, listen, you know, didn't have the most efficient night, shooting 4-15 from the field. But, I mean, he seems to have this weird little knack for, like, making tough shots. And, like, you know, in that Cavs game when the Raptors, you know, destroyed the Cavs, that wasn't necessarily, like, a tough game in any respect because they were up 30 at half and stuff. But there was that stretch in the third quarter where the Cavs made a big push. And someone needs to stop the bleeding. The Cavs are really going to cut that thing at single digits. And it would have made it for a very, very awkward finish. And it was Malachi who made a ton of difficult shots in that stretch there. Some pull-up threes, some pull-up mid-range jumpers, a flow floater. That got the Raptors back on top, in control, and they were able to carry out that game. And then, you know, in the last game, the Raptors just played against the Hawks. It was Malachi obviously making those 4 threes in the last 2 minutes. That was a nice stretch to see. And today, we saw Malachi make some tough fourth quarter shots as well. You know, pull up three, which was really good. You know, he got a tough two over Patty Mills. Mills was pressuring this guy. And honestly, Mills outplayed Flynn on the night. But Flynn had Mills on him. And it was maybe like, I don't know, man. It was probably like, he probably could have gotten a better shot, to be honest. But Flynn just, like, rose up and took, like, a turnaround jumper on Patty and made that as well. That was tough. And this is all in the fourth quarter. Obviously, every possession matters. And then Flynn with 3 out of 4 free throws at the end during intentional fouling to clinch the win for the Raptors. So he's been nice. And you know, of course, you know, you would like to see the shooting percentage a lot better. I think he got into the paint today but wasn't able to finish. I think he left the layup, like, short and whatever. To be honest, I think some of that might just be fatigue. Like, I don't know how much he's played 4 games in 5 nights with traveling. I know he did that in the bubble, which the G League bubble, that the Raptors were 905 were playing like 5 games in 7 days, 5 games in 6 days. Like, that was tough. But at least there was no travel. Like, you're literally just going from the ballroom to the hotel room and then back, right? Like, maybe in between you play some mini golf at, like, Disneyland or whatever, but, like, you weren't doing much other than playing. And you know, whatever. But this is Flynn's 4th game in 5 nights. He's played 30 or more minutes in all those games. You know, I'm sure some of that exhaustion is getting to him, but he made some clutch shots. And you know, it was just a good team effort. You know, I like the way the guys moved the ball together, moved the ball well. And really, my only complaint was just how they closed the game. There were some very regrettable errors and things like that. But they pulled through. And again, as I keep saying after every win, it's not like this one win's going to change everything. The Raptors are going to be fixed. Although, despite how terrible this season has been for Toronto, we are only 1 game back of the Chicago Bulls for the 10th seed, which is also the last play-in seed. Which is freaking wild. I know the Raptors don't hold the tiebreaker against the Bulls, so whatever. I don't care about the play-in tournament, man. If, you know, I'd rather they honestly, you know, fall lower in the standings. But it's very hard to tank in the East, is what I'm trying to say. It's very hard. I mean, look, the Raptors are only 1 game ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers, so it's not like they're, like, running off of this thing, but, like, the 10th seed is also just right there, and it's unbelievable, man. And listen, if the Raptors get some guys back and, you know, it seems like Fred he served his suspension today, so he's gonna, seems like he's gonna be cleared to return on Friday against Orlando, and, you know, Kyle just got rested in both ends of the back-to-back, but I think he's fine, to be honest. Like, he should probably be, if he needed to play, he probably would play. Gary Trent, I didn't even see when he got hurt, so I doubt that injury is very serious. So he's probably going to go as well. Like, honestly, they're not that far out from just being, like, relatively healthy, for at least for a moment. And we'll see what else happens. But, you know, I mean, you know, it's still kind of there for them. The East is garbage, man. The East is garbage is one of my takeaways. It's just, you know, Raptors, the Raptors probably want to tank. They have all the circumstances in their favor to tank. And yet, still might make that stupid play in tournament. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the next game brings. I mean, listen, the Raptors could disappoint you against Orlando. Of course they can. They literally did it before they won a championship. But at the same time, they'll probably beat Orlando. And then at that point, you're really in a playoff race again. So, I don't really know. To be honest, what I care most is to see players develop winning habits, players play the right way. Look, I just don't want to see my time being wasted, quite honestly, right? Like, if the guys are going to come out and play like the way they played against the Hawks, where they were just like, you know, no passing, no nothing, no thought into it, not a lot of defense, guys just running around. Like, I don't want to see that. That's garbage. Like, it really is. Like, you know, I mean, I will, because it's my job, but like, it's bad basketball, and it's a waste of everyone's time to watch that. Today, much better. The Spurs played pretty well as well, and they hit 17 of 40 from three, which I don't really think they're a high-volume shooting three-point shooting team, but they shot the three quite well. They got to the free-throw line. You know, they played a pretty good game, and the Spurs are a decent team, but the Raptors, you know, even with, you know, just one guard on the roster, came out with a win. And honestly, the offense didn't look half bad when they just moved the ball. And of course, they had to hit some threes as well. And the Raptors did hit 14 of 30 from three. But turns out if you move the ball, you know, you're going to get some good offense out of it. So, yeah, I'm happy with the win. I'm happy with the result. In terms of your three stars, first time we went to OG Anunoby, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line in 34 minutes. Had to guard DeMar as well. Did a good job of that. And obviously we know DeMar is a very, very slippery defensive assignment. But yeah, offensively, man, I mean, go back and watch the highlights of this one. OG made some really nice plays, and a lot of it was off the dribble for himself. In fact, I've been making these play breakdown videos called the Raptors Shot Chart. You can search them on YouTube. It's on my real YouTube account. It's under William Liu. In any case, I've been making these Raptors shot charts, just sort of break down people's shots and sort of the way they attack on offense. I'm pretty sure I'm probably going to do something on OG tonight. But in any case, OG was great. He was his first start tonight, and he played really well. Both ends of the floor, much better than the Hawks game. Second star, I'm giving that to... You know what? I'm going to give it to Kem Birch. Listen, I think Pascal deserves a star in this game, but he's gotten tons of stars in this season. You know, I'm just going to acknowledge that Pascal played a good game here. This is not hating on Pascal. But I'm going to get the second star to Kem Birch. 14.6 rebounds and assists to steal 2 blocks. 6 of 9 shooting from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line in 29 minutes for Kem. I just like, when I'm watching the game and I see Kem Birch make these plays, it's not, I know my mind, like rationally, I can process and be like, okay, these are very solid plays, right? I'm happy with the performance. It was a good game, it was. But like, these are just solid plays that you would see from your center most of the time. But to see that happen this season on the Raptors has been so rare. So to see Kem Birch play the right way is hugely refreshing. When the ball gets thrown to him, he's going to catch that ball and he's going to go up with the ball. And if it's a layup or if it's even a little hook shot within 5 feet, he's going to make that shot. And it's like, holy, have I really missed that this season? Because Raptors obviously haven't had a lot of competence at the center position. So I like the way Kem played, man. I'm really happy with him on the team. I think, you know, obviously free agency is coming up and he's unrestricted. But I think the Raptors, you know, depending on the way the rest of the season goes. But yeah, keep him, man. He looks very solid. He looks very good. And then your third star, I'm going to give that to Yuta. 11 points, 4 rebounds and assists. Look, it's very boring if I just say Pascal again. Pascal had a good game. Star-worthy game. But Yuta, I thought, came in, gave them some really great energy off the bench. Looked for a three. Made some really good defensive plays, as he usually does. I think he blocked DeMar as well. Or stripped DeMar. I'm not totally sure. Made a stop against DeMar. And, yeah, made some great plays, man. Even late in the game, you know, the Spurs threw some, like, occasional zone defense at the Raptors. And, you know, the Raptors did struggle at times to sort of... you know, attack that zone. But one play that really stood out was Yuta making a hard drive into the zone, getting into the paint, drawing a second defender to him, kicking into the corner to Kem Birch. The Spurs rotated to Kem in the corner for some reason. I don't know, maybe just on instinct. And then Kem reversed the ball over to OG, and OG hit the three. No, Malachi hit the three. And yeah, that was a great play. And again, it's all started by Yuta making a hard move in the zone. But I thought Yuta played really well. And yeah, shout out Yuta, man. he's coming on strong here at the end of the season. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that has to go to Derek White. I know that Patty Mills had a really hot stretch in the first half, but he seemed like he cooled off in the second half. Patty played really well, don't get me wrong, but Derek White, I didn't know he could shoot like this, man. 6 of 11 from 3, making some tough shots, you know, drew a foul on Chris Boucher at the end to get 3 more free throws, so I really consider that, you know, 7 threes practically, and Derek White was making some really nice plays, and 25 points for him, 6 of 11 from 3, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 5 assists as well. Pretty solid player, honestly. You know, Spurs have a lot of solid players, so that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. If you haven't already, go subscribe to the Raptors Reaction newsletter. I'm going to drop a link to the subscription in the podcast description. But in any case, you can get your takes into the mailbag. You can get 3 takeaways from every game. You get links to post game. You get links to highlights. You got links to the reaction video, which you're already listening to or watching. And a meme, which, you know, it's nice little dessert at the end of a award salad, which is usually what it is. So anyways, you know, subscribe to the newsletter. What else? Run It Back comes out tomorrow. Watch that with me and Alex. We fielded some hot takes, and you know, I tried to be pretty rational with them. And then the last thing, I mean, there's a Spurs fan that comes to every YouTube video and comments, "Thank you for Keldon Johnson." Didn't see a lot out of Keldon Johnson today. I know Keldon's nice. Like, he's a very solid player, and his size was probably a little neutralized by the Raptors having so much size, but I don't know, man. There wasn't a lot of thank you for Keldon Johnson in this video, but in any case, yeah, shout out to that one person. Again, I keep saying that, yeah, it's great that you guys got Keldon Johnson, man. We got Kawhi, and we won the championship. I don't think anyone's unhappy about losing out on Keldon Johnson. But in any case, that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. And the Raptors finally have a day off, which means I finally have a day off. So I'm going to chill on Thursday. I encourage you to do the same. And we'll be back at it on Friday when the Raptors play the Orlando Magic. I know people love when the Raptors play the Magic. It's going to be so much fun. So I'll talk to you after that game.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely their fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com. Code SUPER24.